morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida. So delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years now, with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And by the way, you can hear this rebroadcast Sunday mornings at 7:30. Today, Saturday, as you're listening to this. And then we have our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then our friends over at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. What a joy to be in partnership with them as we all just come to sit at the feet of the Lord and gaze in His eyes, let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been tuning in to this broadcast, you know that my heartbeat is that I'm always looking for the portraits of God throughout the Scriptures. And so last week we started kind of a three-part series on this particular portrait, how He is our life-giving grace. Oh, my soul, the more I learn about how His grace has been sustaining me far more than I realize, the more I'm humbled by that, and the more it makes me fall in love deeper and deeper with the Lord Jesus. And so as we take our time just to stroll through all of these passages where we get a vivid portrait of the Lord as our life-giving grace, I pray it'll be an encouragement to you. And by the way, just a quick reminder that these messages are archived on my website, markpg.org. Hope you'll jot that down and take a look and share it with some others, because on there we also have some 3-minute videos on portraits of God, and then we have some printable guides, some quick guides to the whispers of God on different topics like love and grace and peace and so forth, and then some columns I've written, musings about God, I also call Whispers of God, that I've been publishing for, gosh, I guess 16 years now in a local publication here. So all that is archived at markpg.org, and I have one goal only, that's to help you hear God. And that's what we want to do this morning, and as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak as we continue our journey discovering how He is our life-giving grace. Well, Lord, the older I get, the more I just see Your grace is so, so active in our lives, mine in particular, way more than I thought it was. And Lord, You are just so kind. You are so patient with us. And Your grace upon grace just continues to flow like an endless river. And we're so grateful for that. And Lord, as we're taking this journey these few weeks through various passages, trying to just get some takeaways of how to spot Your grace at work and how it operates. Oh, I pray they'll become embedded in our hearts and transform us from the inside out as we walk in Your grace, in Your love, in Your kindness, in Your goodness. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of walking together with You and for the privilege of sitting at Your feet today to hear You with the ears of our hearts as You speak to us. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His, oh, precious and cleansing and healing blood, His transforming and empowering blood. Oh, Lord, thank You for being that good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you're a note taker, I have these 12 takeaways about how the Lord is indeed our life-giving grace. We covered 4 last week, which I'll give you real quickly here in a moment. And then we're going to go to the next 4 as time will allow today. So we started off by looking at the Lord, our life-giving grace, and how He reveals, number one, that grace spawns salvation through faith. Space spawns salvation through faith, that classic Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 passage, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then we went on to number 2, that grace is not on the basis of works. In fact, the scripture says in Romans 11 that It's all by grace. It's no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. So there can't be any works that earns you salvation at all. It's all the grace of God, and by faith, we following after him. Number three was how grace upon grace comes from his fullness. A great phrase out of John chapter 1, verse 16. I love that, grace upon grace. You know, it doesn't quit. It keeps coming and coming. Boy, do I need it. So grateful. And then number four was grace and glory are from God. The scriptures in Psalm 84 says that the Lord gives grace and glory, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So now we come to number five. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Here's the takeaway we have from this passage about how the Lord is our life-giving grace, who reveals, number five, that grace is God's channel of abundance. Grace is God's channel of abundance. Listen to this passage, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, when you stop and really think about that passage, when you look at it carefully, oh my goodness, what a claim it's making. What a promise the Lord has here from us. What a vivid description of how grace is indeed God's channel of abundance. I just have to read it again. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. You know, when we can somehow get that God's grace is that abundant, that it is always there, it is abounding, it is covering for us when we don't even realize it. I know as I look back on my many years in ministry, as a young pastor, I thought I was pretty hot stuff. You know, God was using me because of my amazing giftedness and all that stuff. Well, yeah, God does gift us and all that stuff. But the bigger thing that's happening is that his grace upon grace in abundance is covering for us, because even in the mix of the good things that we're able to do, even in the great gifts, which we'll talk about later, that he gives by grace, there's far more going on of God using us in spite of ourselves and because of ourselves. And that's a humbling thought. Let me give you a couple of examples of some of this to kind of give you a feel of this fifth of 12 takeaways about how the Lord is our life-giving grace. I actually have, over the years, cultivated a joy in going to the supermarket with my wife. You know, in the earlier years, she would do it with the kids. I'm busy and all that stuff. But now that the kids are gone and they're starting their own families and we're spending more time together and have more time, I love going to the grocery store with her. We go, we shop together, get the things that we need and all. But I'm telling you, we just frequently talk about the crazy abundance that we have in this country, as evidence in just one way, in these supermarkets. I mean, think about this. One day I decided, you know, how many types of beans do we have to choose from on this aisle? Because you just have shelf after shelf and layer upon layer of different kinds of beans. I mean, there's dozens of kinds of beans that you can choose from. I mean, it's just stunning. And then you have all the other things you get. And for example, I was picking some applesauce up for her. She was feeling a little sick. Honey, would you get some applesauce? Sure. Well, when I got there, I mean, there were so many different types of applesauce, you know, with mixtures in it and organic and sweetened or unsweetened, organic or not organic, and mixed with strawberry and this and that and the other and this kind of package and that kind of package. And I mean, it was just, I had to call her, say, honey, there's too many options here. Which one were you hoping for here? And we had to work through it. When you want to get a feel for what abundance is like, take a look at the shelves at your supermarket and come away and go, oh my goodness. You know, for those who have been overseas, perhaps serving in missions in some of the third world countries, when you go to market there, And you have a striking difference between what you see at a small market in a third world country and what you see in our supermarkets. It's just stunning. Now, that's just one example of how God's grace is manifested in our lives. There's so many other ways you can attribute it to so many things in our life. The blessings that He gives us every day, just the sunrises and the sunsets and all the different kinds of flowers and all the fragrances that are out there and the beauty that's out there. And so there's so many gifts of God, the people He's brought into our life. Yes, nobody's perfect. Yes, they got jagged edges. But on the other hand, there are also the good things about them that we can learn to savor. God's grace. Grace is God's channel of abundance to us that is way, way more than just, you know, different kinds of beans that you can pick up at the grocery store, different kinds of cheeses. Can you look at all the different kinds of cheese? Apples. You know how many different kinds of apples there are? There's over 100 kinds of apples. And of course, they don't carry them all in the grocery store and all, but you can just go on and on and on with examples of abundance. And that is nothing compared to the abundance the Lord has for His children. If we'll just tune in to Him, hear Him speaking in His frequency, speaking in whispers to us, having so much in store for us if we'll just abide in Him. It's incredible. Which takes me to number 6. So we're talking about how the Lord, our life-giving grace, reveals that number 5, grace is God's channel of abundance. But number 6, oh, this is deep. Get ready now. Number 6 is grace defines and works through us. Grace defines us and works through us. You're going, what? Yeah. It's God's grace that actually defines you, not what you think of yourselves, not what you portray, it's not your career, it's not your favorite hobby, it's not your athletic abilities or something. That doesn't define you. Your looks don't define you. It's God's grace that defines you and works through you. I told you this is going to be deep. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I mean, Paul's just saying it right out. Hey, look, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, whoever I am, whatever I am, whatever I'm like, because we have a hard time. In fact, we really can't know ourselves. We're blind to so many dimensions of ourselves. We need each other to help us discover who we are in the Lord and with the Lord. But anyway, so he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Now, I know that's a little hard to unpack, so let me see if I can break it down for us. I love what he's saying. Number one, my sense of identity, who I am, is by His grace. And then when I labor, when I do stuff, when God is working through me, you know, it's really not high, but that's the grace of God as well. Allow me to do the things that I do. You know, there are some world-class athletes out there. You might be one of them, or maybe you were one. You're a little older now. Guess what? That was the grace of God, a gift to you that you were able to do, that He empowered you to do, that He hardwired you to do. It's an amazing how some people are just more athletic than others. Others are more artistic than others. Others are more poetic than others. Others are able to write better than others. Others have a math ability, you know, or a science ability that they're just gifted with from above. We are wired so differently. This is just in the intellectual area and the talent area and the physical areas. We're going to get to, in number 7, the spiritual gifts, which were given from above by grace too, which makes us very different. But look, it's the grace of God that defines you and works through you, my friend. That's why we can't take credit for the amazing abilities we may have as opposed to the next man or woman. You know, I've known people throughout my life. I'm just amazed what they can do with a pencil. Now, you give me a pencil, and yeah, I can write something, and I can draw little stick figures and maybe a halfway decent tree or something. But I've had some friends that you give them a pencil, and they just do a portrait or a landscape or cartoon caricatures, or they're just stunning. Or the little felt tip pens, you know, the little flare pens we used to have. I had a buddy of mine in high school. He would just start doing dots, and he did a portrait of the Beatles, you know. I mean, and it was just amazing. How do you know where to put a dot? I don't know. I just put it where it's supposed to go, and it comes out with John Lennon and Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr and George Harrison, and there it is. Boom, you know. And he was amazing. That's a gift from above. It's the grace of God that God chose to give him that particular ability. He went on to be a good artist and made his living that way. There's no way I could do that. We all have different abilities or talents that's been given to us by the grace of God. So that's why Paul is saying it's by the grace of God I am what I am. I can't take credit for that. Now I need to be a good steward of it. And it is a shame some people waste the way that God has gifted them with abilities and all. There's so many other factors that go into that, but we are responsible to cultivate the abilities he's given us. But we can't take credit in the big picture of that, because no matter how hard I try to be a good artist, I'd never measure up to those that are gifted or such. Some have musical abilities. Our oldest son, sit down on a piano. He's picking out Rhapsody in Blue when he's like 7 years old. He could hear it. He can reproduce it on the piano, and off he goes, the syncopated rhythm patterns and all, everything. And he became a worship and praise leader and singer and stuff. And it's just amazing. You know, I could never do that. I can get not even close. That's the grace of God, my friends. So here's an interesting thing. If you were ever asked to write an autobiography and I were asked you to define that, oh, that's the story of my life. Well, okay, technically maybe yes, but really the bigger story, it's the story of God's work in you and through you. That's what an autobiography is, because we are nothing apart from the grace and gifting of God. When you write an autobiography, start with God. God created me with the abilities to do these kinds of things. And I've tried to be a good steward of them over the years, and hear how this has played out by the grace of God. That's an autobiography, my friend. And by the way, while we're there, as someone who becomes acutely aware that we are defined by how God, by his grace, has equipped us and has mobilized us and gives us opportunities to use those abilities given to us, those autobiographies also makes us ambassadors. We are ambassadors, representatives of a foreign power. We are citizens of heaven when we get saved. And we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, because what we are is by his grace, and we go and we tell others about him. It's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. It's about what he is doing, what he has done. Autobiographies and ambassadors, think about those two words, and that really captures what I'm trying to say here and what I believe Paul is saying here, how grace defines and works through us. Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay, we've covered two more so far. We've said the Lord, our life-giving grace, reveals, number 5, that grace is God's channel of abundance. Number 6, that grace defines and works through us. Now, here's number 7. Grace spawns different gifts in different degrees. Grace spawns different gifts in different degrees. Let me take you over to Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Romans 12, 6 says this: since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And then it goes on and lists things like prophecy and teaching and exhortation and administration and service and giving and mercy. Those 7, what we'll call motivational gifts or heart wirings, are given to us in differing degrees. Some have a big dose of prophecy, you know, and a little dose of mercy. Some have a big dose of exhortation, you know, and that which is encouraging people. to motivate them to do the things of God. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about it in a moment. This is a whole series in and of itself. I don't want to get bogged down too much, but let me first of all make a difference between the talents and abilities and athletic and artistic and intellectual capabilities. That was number six. Those are kind of talents and abilities. Number seven is the spiritual gifts, how God hardwires us to be maybe with the gift of prophecy, a big dose. And by the way, think about when you go get a can of paint at Home Depot and you're asking for a particular color, you look at those thousands of swatches and stuff. Okay, I want this one, right? This kind of green right here. And there's so many different kinds of greens. How do they get that? I'm amazed how they get a base paint and then they use a few little drops of a red or a brown or a blue or something. But there's a certain formula, a few little drops in that base paint, then they shake it up and boom, you got your shade of green, whatever it is, sea mist green or whatever it is, as opposed to emerald green or forest green or whatever. It's amazing. Well, that's how these seven motivational gifts in Romans 12 works. Grace spawns different gifts in different degrees. You have all seven, but you have a couple of major ones that most people can see right off the bat, and then the others are being kind of dropped in. And the more we grow in Christ, the more we take on more of the other gifts, because Jesus had all of the gifts. That's why those that are really mature in Christ, it's harder and harder to tell what their primary motivational gifts used to be, because now they're exhibiting all of them. If it's time to be bold and prophetic, you know, declaring the black and white hard truths of God, they can do that if called upon. It may or may not have been their original strong point. You know people like that. They're people that just, you know, the take charge kind of people. That's the spiritual gift of prophecy. By the way, we've used animal metaphors over the years to describe them. You can go to my website, by the way, markpg.org, and you can get glimpses of this. We have a book out that talks about it in the parenting guide. But like an eagle is like the gift of prophecy, strong, powerful. Mercy is another gift, though. It's one of the seven. That's like a dove, and it coos. It doesn't screech. It coos. It's gentle. It's peace-giving. And then mercy, you know, they encourage people that are hurting of their high value in God's eyes instead of declaring the black and white heart truths of God, thus saith the Lord. See, those are the two different ends of the pole there, or of the spectrum there. So, and all the other ones in between, you got the gift of teaching, you know, explaining the comprehensive insights of God. You know, I use the tiger there because it's the meat of the word, and really bright people biblically can be intimidating even though they don't realize it. Those with the gift of prophecy, the eagles know they're intimidating, but they try to tone it down. I hope you are anyway, if you're one of those. Exhortation, motivating the people to do the things of God. That's like a dolphin. They're all the life of the party people. Dolphins look like they're always smiling and splashing about. They're the life of the party folks. We love those folks. Some have a big dose of exhortation. Administration, the scripture says, consider the ant who gathers in the harvest, you know, and no captain or ruler tells them, but they're very, they plan well. Their rooms of their kids are orderly. It's all that. The cupboards are orderly if you're, you know, a homemaker, and if you're a guy with a lot of tools, your garage is orderly because of the gift of administration. You think that way. Then you have those with the gift of service, like little squirrels gathering up nuts and things like that, but behind the scenes, don't put them on stage, but they love to serve. They love to help people and help fix things at their home or make dinner for them, that kind of stuff. The gift of giving, they love to give money. They love to support people secretly. They don't want to be aggrandizing themselves, you know. And then you have the gift of mercy, as I mentioned. But those given in different combinations makes us unique. Grace spawns different gifts in different degrees, and we have to allow for that, and we're to be grateful for that, and we're to exercise them accordingly. So I hope you'll discover what your primary spiritual gifts are, and then cultivate the others as you grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you might be, say, have two dominant ones. Most people have two dominant ones, whether you're a prophet, eagle, maybe you're a teacher, tiger, maybe you're the exhortation, you know, motivating people, that's the dolphin. Those are the three kinds of extroverts. Then you have the gift of administration. Some are extroverts, some are introverts and exercising that gift, but mobilizing the body, organizing and mobilizing the body of Christ to do the same things of God. Exhortation motivates them. You know, you can do this. We can do this. We're going to take it. We can do this. Come on. Yay. You know, but then those with the gift of administration, well, let's organize ourselves to do this, and off you go. And then the squirrel was a gift of service. Honeybee, gift of giving, because they make honey and stuff. And then the dove, as I mentioned, is a gift of mercy. Oh, the counselors and all. And by the way, about 90% of us have the introverted gifts, the service-related gifts. There's 10% that have the others. It's not good or bad. It's not better or best. We're all needed. The Bible says we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And we're like a body that's working together. Some are heads, some are hands, some are feet, etc. But that's by God's grace. Well, I'm telling you right now, we only have time for these three, but they're big ones. That grace is God's channel of abundance. That's number five. Number six, grace defines and works through us. And then number seven, grace spawns different gifts in different degrees. That's what makes you so unique. Oh, Lord, we are just so grateful that you're a God who gives us grace upon grace in so many different ways. We've seen some clear examples of that today. We can't take credit for it, but we can receive it. And we can honor you by cultivating those gifts to serve others and encourage others. So thank you for the privilege, Lord. Thank you for being our life-giving grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you'll check out markpg.org. And next time, fall in love with your life-giving grace.